Good morning to you all. It's nice to see you once again. This will be my last Sabbath here for quite some time, as I have been advised by my family that over the next few weeks I have to go and live in Melbourne once again. And so today, I'm here. I've made it, yes. I've had a hard time, as I said to Paul this week. I've made it. I'm here. To start this service today, I would like you to open your hymn books again. We're not singing, we're going to read something. Because I'm speaking to myself as well as you all today. The hymns I've chosen are deliberately chosen to help me as well. And I've chosen one in the back of the hymn book called 805. 805. I will read the light print, and you may read the dark print, and I will lead off. It's called humility. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who, being in every nature God, made himself nothing. Therefore, my dear friends, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his purpose, to his good purpose. And that reading came from Philippians 2:6-11. It also reads another one, but I'm not going to have time to do that this morning. Thank you for that. Shall we bow our heads in prayer for a moment, will I? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Sabbath day and for the chance to stand here this morning before your people here. To open the Word of God, Lord, is the most important thing here today, at this desk, Lord. I pray that we will be blessed, the angels will encircle us, and we will have a blessing here this morning with what's going to be said and uttered and shown on the board, Lord. May each of us have a happy Sabbath day and go through the coming week okay. I ask these things in thy name. Amen. As I said, I'm talking to myself today. My hymn book has just opened up to another hymn. But I'm not going to sing it, I'm just going to say. 444, I'm a pilgrim, I'm a stranger in this earth. I'm a pilgrim. And today I wanted to mention something, as my custom is on the last day I'm here. I want to do something maybe a little bit different. But then again, that's the way it is. Today, I've entitled my presentation here today, The Imitators of God, or The Imitation of God. One day, when I was studying my Bible, which is a good thing, I came across a passage which actually got my interest up. Because these three words, four words, I'm sorry, came at me like a bolt out of the blue. And those three words, four words, I'm sorry, are found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And we open with the four words that's going to be looked at today. I say four because it deals a bit more about this than meets the eye. The four words are quite plainly in my Bible. Now, they might be reading something else in yours, I don't know. But I wonder, I've got other versions here that I can read from. The King James Version Study Bible here reads this. Be imitators of God. I will read verse 1. Be imitators of God, therefore as dearly loved children. I'll stop there. Be imitators of God, therefore as dearly loved children. Now I want to share with you something, and I want to show you something. I'm proud of it, but I'm not. That was my Bible when I was a boy. Yes, it's here. It's here. A bit battered and worn. All it needs is a new cover. Sometimes I feel like that at the end of the day. Battered and worn. Needs a new cover. But it reads this. That same verse in the KJV reads this. Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, as dearly loved children, as dear children. It's there. It's there in that one. And if I go across the table here, I've got all the others, Living Bible and so forth, they all much say the same thing. And so today I stand here and I thought about this, and then I thought, years ago, I say this with respect, we did a study in Ephesians. And guess what? Yours truly was able to find the very, very text that I did on the same day back in about 2009 on this very day. And I've got to be talking. And so, this particular study starts off with this. And it talks about following on from what was read here this morning, what we were talking about. It talks about the Christian walk. On the board here, I've got some verses and things for you all to read and study and while I'm talking. But I want to talk about this particular passage this morning. From verse 1 to verse 21. 21, yes, that's the section. And it is titled in my Bible, in the general section, Living as the Children of Light. And so, therefore, this morning, I put some things on the board, as I always do, much to help out. Now, it's in coloured ink, and I've had to change the colour because the ink ran out on the blue, and I had to switch to red. And so, I want to read something here this morning, basically so I can get it. What I'm going to say now is this. The thought for the Sabbath day is this. My thought, and it can stay up there, is this. Christians see each new day full of fresh possibilities and opportunities. Vigilance is the key to remaining on the path towards heaven without extreme alertness. On the Christian's part, it becomes easy for Satan to distract and to nudge in such a subtle way that those travelling to the heaven-bound highway take the exit to Satan's alternative road, a road that extracts a much higher fee from its travellers. Think about that. Think about that. That was in the study we did about 6 years ago. 2005. Christmas time, 2005. Where are we today? All right. I'll let that there for a minute. And then I'm going to turn over. Now, today's presentation is one in which I'm looking at several factors. If you like, at the back of this board, I have put Ephesians 5:1-21. This is the topic through which I'm going to read this morning. But there on the board, and I'm sorry it's in red ink because I can hardly see it from here. But But there are the passages, 10 passages associated with this particular study that was done at the particular time. As you can see, it talks about Ephesians 5, 1 to 21, but it also comments about a number of other verses in the Bible, and the main one being Exodus 20. Now, we all know what Exodus 20 is. I haven't got to go down that path. But there is the guideline. Be imitators of God. Be kind. Be imitators. One way of imitating God is to have a forgiving spirit. If one looks at Ephesians 4:32, it reads this: be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God, He forgave you. Isn't that interesting? Be ye imitators of God. There's the text. There's 10 of them. There are more, but I thought 10 was enough for today. Otherwise you'll be up after night. So I ask myself today, by undertaking a serious walk, a Christian walk, Paul has brought our attention to the four words, the imitators of God. And live a life of love, just as Christ loved us, verse 2. And gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Verse 3 reads this, from Ephesians 5:21, and then I'll get into some of the others. Verse 3 reads this, but among you there must not be even a hint of any sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Verse 4 in Ephesians, I've highlighted, and I thought about this last night, and I thought about this morning. Verse 4 jumped out at me as something rather special. Verse 4, in the King James Version reads this, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not covenant, but rather give thanks. The Living Bible on Ephesians 5:4 reads this, dirty stories, foul talk and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, remind each other as God's goodness and be thankful. The Revelation Seminar Bible and the Open Bible, the Open Bible, why it is written, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not covenant, but rather give thanks. And the KJV reads, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. I want to stop there just for a split second, because I've looked at a few books over here. In some of these books it puts it slightly in a different way. I'll get myself organised here. William Barclay, the Scottish theologian, divides the topic under consideration today into four parts. Ephesians 5:1-21 thus. And I'll read them out for you so you can write them down if you want. 1. The imitation of God, verses 1 to 8. 2. Jesting about sin, also 1 to 8. He makes a special point of that. 3. The children of light, 9 to 14. And from 15 to 21, the Christian fellowship. Think about it. The Christian walk today could be broken into these parts. I put it down as 5. Walk in love. Walk to the view of judgment, which is purity. Walk in light. Walk in wisdom. And walk with the fullness of the Spirit. Interesting. Very interesting. When one opens up the lesson, it opens up the study that I did back then. Believers are called to be the imitators of God. God in Christ is our model in everything, in ethics, in suffering, in obedience, in work, in prayer, and above all in love. So we are admonished to walk in love. First, put down the thought here that Christ's love of himself was selfless. Selfless for us because he went to the cross. He did everything right for us. He took on the sin. Second, Christ's love is sacrificial. Christ is the supreme example of the sacrifice. He bore the cross of shame and gave up his life in order that humanity might be redeemed. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's on the bottom there. It's an interesting thing. Third, Christ's love is reconciling. Because if it wasn't for Christ reconciling love, we wouldn't be sitting here today. It's brought its relationship, and it should bring complete unity, and it goes on. In what way, it asks us then, have we had a relationship to bring reconciliation? Think of an example you can share with others. Yes. Is there something? One would think about it. But it's interesting, while I was doing this, I wanted to look up something in the dictionary. And I looked up the dictionary, and lo and behold, I found this. I looked up the dictionary and I wanted to see what the dictionary said about the word God. And it did. Said this in my little one, Webster. The supreme being. A divinity, a deity. Then I looked up something else. I looked up the word to obey. And the word obey was to comply with as commands or requirements, to be ruled by, to yield, to submit to authority. Now we can all relate to that one way or another. In no matter what way we do in life, we have to submit to some sort of authority, be it council authority, the church agreements, or whatever it is, or something like that. It is all there. In whatever way we want to do, it is there. It is interesting to note that when we walk in love, we are told that God is love. Therefore, follows logically, if we are to follow God, we should live our lives in which love is the first principle. As humans, our concept of love may be misguided or mistaken. In Ephesians, Paul's attempts to show us what love, the divine sense, is all about. It reveals this. 1. God's revelation of love and judgment. 2. God's provision of light and wisdom. And 3. God's gift for the fullness through the Holy Spirit. Love. Where do you stop? Walking in love, the things that weigh us down, and walking in the light. These are all the things that we have to look at through here today. When I turn over the page and I read on in my Bible, the comments I'm doing here, nor shall there be any obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. This today has seemed to have taken a rather crash course in our world around us. But wherever we are in the world, there is always something going to be said or something going on around us which may not be to our liking. We are in the world, but not of it. And sometimes, even on our television screens and our radio stations, yes, we've seen things and heard things which shouldn't be said. And jokingly, we've had some severe repercussions. This was just this last week over something that happened on the wireless, which should not never have done. But this is the way society lives today. Society wants the points on the board for the winnings. They don't care about what else is going on. If they can get a strike here now, today, they'll have a strike here now. Strike one for something. I don't mean a strike as a stop putting, just a moral strike, a joke. Over the years in this country, I can remember going back into the 60s and 70s, there was a certain gentleman on the television And he was severely reprimanded for the words he said on the television. And he was taken off it. I'm not going to say any more. You all smile. You know what I'm talking about. That's just the way it is. Obscenities. We don't need it in this world. This particular text jumped out at me. This particular verse jumped out at me because obscenity, foolish talk. This is another one. I'm going to do this. I'm a gunner. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Foolish talk. I can do this. I can do that. Foolish stuff. You don't need it. We don't need that in this world today. And Christians, we don't need to talk about it in our lifestyle here in the church. Because we are not foolish people. We are here. We've got to have something good going for us because we are here this morning in this church. It's a wonderful privilege to be here, to stand up against you today and to bring you these two thoughts. If we talk about foolish things or state we can do things, generally in logic terms, man has to prove what he says. I can build this, I can do that, I can go faster than you, my car can go better than yours, right? Prove it. Now, over the years, people have done just that. Prove your speed, prove this. You can say, I can get there faster than you on train or whatever, you prove it. And they can. They have done so, quite effectively. Foolish talk, sometimes. You have to go through and wade through the thing to sort out what it's all about. It also goes on here to say, for you can be sure, no immoral, impure, greedy person such as man, an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and or of God. The next word here is let no one deceive you with empty words. This is a very good topic today because empty words seem to flow just about out of everything. One has only got to look at the news on the television or see the screens full of empty words and myths and legend. They mean something. Where are we up to? We see today that if we sit down and watch the news, what happens? We get about 8 minutes of news, an ad, something else, and then they end up on the football or something, and the weather, and it's gone. So that half hour of news turns into about 9 minutes, and they pick and choose. Empty words, inheritance. Let no one deceive you. How many, well, I can just think, I'm thinking of one here years ago. What was his name? Orson Welles. In America, during the 1950s, he made it like there was a Third World War. And he broadcast something on the radio that terrified the Americans and they thought there was something coming in the Third World War. He did it and he had to apologise for what he'd done. Put it over the radio. I just can't quite remember, but I've got it done. War of the Worlds, I think it was called. It ran for about an hour and a half. And he was quite a bit of trouble. When we look at this particular thing, we see things change. Changes are all around us. Changes everywhere. Change is something. I got a shock one morning a few Sabbaths ago. I should have told a little story here this morning, but I didn't. But I'm going to right now. Just a minute. I saw something in the animal kingdom a few weeks ago, which rather stunned me. And I say, you don't think animals have got any brains. I say, yeah, I say they have. You see where I'm coming from. The morning was a Sabbath and I was going to church in Melbourne, Nunawading. And I had to get the bus down Springvale Road. Now, Springvale Road is a highway that goes from out somewhere down through town and right out to Frankston. There's a three-lane highway. There's three lanes going that way, three lanes coming this way with a big verge of trees in the middle. And around my bus stop where I was waiting for the bus, there were a lot of houses. And behind those houses, there was a big park. And I was aware, I've been aware for some time, that there were a lot of ducks in the park. And this particular morning, I'm waiting for the bus, go to church. I turned to my right. With half-hour intervals between the bus, they're very random frequently. And I saw a surprising little thing. There was a duck come out of the house beside the park, down onto the footpath. Down onto the footpath. One duck. Yeah, that's all right. About 2 seconds later, another duck, obviously, mum and dad came. I said, oh, yeah, this is nice. This is going to be interesting. What's going to happen? Are they going to go straight across the road? Get killed? Before I had time to blink, five or six little ones popped out from behind them. Thank you. Okay. Mum, dad, five little ducks. Five or six. And I thought, this is going to be interesting. And another woman had come down to the bus stop, and she was looking at the same thing as me, thinking, well, are those ducks going to go straight out there? Kill? Well, what happened? As they came out of that house onto the footpath, I watched an amazing thing. The lead duck turned right to go down the path on the side of the road, but the second duck pulled out to one side to watch to see that the children were coming behind. Or her, whichever, I don't know which was heck. One went down the street, one looked there, yeah, they're right up, and they all got back into line. And they walked down the side of the park on the footpath for about 100 metres, turned to the right, went up into the fence, and went back up into the bush. Those five, six ducks could have been killed on a busy road. But they must have had some sort of sense in them that they were able to change direction. All right, it doesn't mean much, but it's a little thing. But it's just a point to me that made me think. Springtime, duck, thing. Over the road on the other side of the highway, I found out later that they have another park in which they have a duck or a bird underpass, like a tunnel. Carve over the top. These are ducks that must have come over the road, flown or did whatever, but these ducks are all. I know this is off the key of what I want to do, but it was a story that I wanted to tell this morning. I better get back into it because it might be this afternoon already. Oh, well, too bad. So I move on. It's interesting. Because if God can get, if the ducks can do that, just think of how we are important to God. Let no man deceive you with empty words. For because such things, God's wrath comes to those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Now it talks about being in darkness. For you were once in darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. In the light of the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. I want to stop there for a minute. I want to talk about this. Find out what pleases the Lord. Pleases the Lord to know that we are here this morning. That we have taken time out on the Sabbath day to come and communicate one with another. That we are able to stand here and to sit and have the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning through the Word of God and through the pages of God. Pleases God. Now, it says, you have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Interesting, because this verse is particularly topic even today. What happens in the fruits of darkness in the streets around our cities and suburbs and here is something that we can rather shudder or think about. We see all kinds of evil in the streets. We see places that are open up till 3, 4, 5 in the morning. I was to take you into William Street in Melbourne. What am I doing there at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning when I should be home in my bed? I'm in a place of vileness and sin where these nightclubs are there for things that go on in the darkness. Drink spiking, all this sort of thing, it's all there. One has only got to look at the ambulance service to see, or the hospitals and see, the emergency ward of some of these hospitals around the cities and here probably too, that most of the problems will pop up generally about 3, 4, 5 in the morning. Cuts, knocks, punches, whatever, it all happens. It is a bad, bad way that our world is in today, in which we find ourselves that we have to be very careful of where we do and where we go. It doesn't get to the stage now where even a man can't walk out and go home of a night time safely down the street for fear he's going to get hit. A man. That's how bad it is. Or it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do with people. But if we have the light, and if we get the light on us, we are able to see things. Now, it's interesting that some of these torches today are these LED lights. And I've got one at home with 9 or 10 little things in it. And I can shine up, 100 metres away with the powerful of the LED light. Years ago, you couldn't do that. Very visible. But the light makes everything visible. This is why it says, now it comes to another thing. Here in the Bible, which I want to talk about this morning, I'm not getting to those, but you can put them down to the book. Yeah. It says here that as I'm getting older, I'm feeling this. I have to be finding myself more in bed now of a night time rather than be up social. I'm not as young as I used to be. I'll say quite often now that I'm having trouble medically. I have a problem that's cropped up since I've seen you last. It's affecting me. And I've got to be very careful. Hence, I've got a bag there, somewhere here, a blue bag, with a walking stick in it. And I have to go, if I go down in the on the floor at home, try and sweep up the mess, I've got to have a table or something near me before I can get up. I cannot get up off my own. So I'm just starting to feel a little bit vulnerable now because the old body is starting to go, hey, listen, you're not 25 anymore. You've got to be careful of yourself. You've got to watch yourself. You've got to wake up. You've got to have a bit more sleep. But in this text we are looking at today, it is not talking about this. It is talking up about a thing that says here, wake up, O sleeper, rise for the dead, from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Interesting on the other side of that board is the word vigilance. Now, anything to do with the word vigilance will get my attention straight away. Vigilance, yes, alert. You've got to be all the time on the job. You've got to be alert. Doesn't take much to drop not off at the wheel or not. Well, I've had a friend of mine that had a collision down in Dennington about 5 or 6 weeks ago and she wrote the car up, lucky she's alive. She had one of those mini sleeps with her eyes open. Now, I don't know about, I can't. We're not medically minded. Mini sleep, driving a car. She was a roller coaster. He shut down. He's alive. But I have to be this way. I might be all right here and I might be all right there, but I might lose my path. I might lose my track. I've got to wake up. I've got to keep alert. I don't want to be a dead Christian. I don't want to be dead spiritual dead Christian I'm talking about now. Because if I don't read this, I'm dead. I have to be alive in Christ. And Christ will shine on you. He will shine on you. One of the greatest tragedies of life is to live as though God does not exist. Or that it does not matter. If it does or not. Such an attitude fosters a life that is restricted to the present with no thought for the future. Can you relate to that? Just think of it. Don't have to answer it. Can you relate to that? To live as though God does not exist. Unfortunately, in society today, God is that far back from the thoughts of people in the general world that it doesn't matter. The only time you can generally get to them is in the next couple of weeks, in about a week time on Christmas Day, for about 3 or 4 days, and that's it till Easter. It's amazing, but that's it. They don't want to know. Is God, unfortunately, been pushed aside?
I would say yes. Because the world does not need him.
There are people out there that will work at the moment 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or 8 days now. I watch the program on the television. They fly in, fly out from Sydney and Brisbane to the gold mines of Kalgoorlie and Thingo, northern West Australia, Broome, whatever up there. Fly in for 8 days and they fly them out. Enormous wages. Gold mines. There was a program on the television the other night about gold mines. Unbelievable. A way of life, sorry. It also talks about here today, I'm getting on in time, about wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is one of those things which we all need and we have to have. Now, there are texts in the Bible that talks about a wise man, walk in wisdom and all this sort of thing, but I put down a few. Walk in wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:20 and 21 reads this, and I don't think it's there. Yes, I've written it down. Yeah. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of the age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. The world tends to want to push God away further and further and further for everything he does or tries to do. Because people today think they can do without him. And they can't. But they don't realise that. They have no tomorrow. We have something to look forward to. I've got friends that all they're going to look forward to is Christmas dinner, work, a holiday, work, back to a holiday, back to work, and life's got no meaning. But there again, the ethical side comes out of it. Because some of those people, they've got ethics that are probably some of us could learn a thing or two about. 1 Corinthians 3:19 is another one. I've got 3. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight, as it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. Isn't this the same today where we look at the stock exchange and we see these people that make thousands of dollars? Or Mrs. what's her name? Reinhardt over there that wants to employ these people in here for $2 a week because we can't get people here to go and work for them over there. Catch us in the foolishness. One has only got to look at the news some nights and see the stock exchange. Not that I have any shares or stock, but it's interesting to read. I don't understand it fully. Like the weather, I killed and took, can't understand all the little bars and all that. But the stock exchange is totally foreign. But when you see the US dollar at 104.105, you know something's good because it's well and truly in it. Where are we up to? Look at the price of fuel. Look at the price of this. Look at the price of transport going up another 7%. This was yesterday, a couple of weeks ago. Everything going up. What do we get for it? Nothing. But anyway, that's another story. The wisdom of this world. He catches the wise in their craftiness. Can we say that the government of Victoria is a bit crafty? I think so. Most governments generally are. Look at what's happening overseas at the moment, or with Abbott overseas at the moment. With all this business, crafty going on all the time. If we did in the workplace what they do in the government out in Canberra in that room, we wouldn't be having a job. We'd be out of it. That's it. Just amazing. 2 Corinthians 1:12. Now this is our post. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, in the holiness and the sincerity that are from God. We have done so not according to the worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. I don't want the worldly wisdom, thank you. Well, it's nice to be able to have this and have the patterns on the head and all the plaques on the wall to say yes, that and other. That's not going to affect us all. That's not going to help us at all. when it comes to the final application, when God wants us to talk about, we have to talk about. Because it says in my Bible here, and it says in yours too, that we are going to be accountable for what we've done here and there. What we say or what we do on this earth is how we're going to be treated. And so today I want to continue on, just carefully. I'm not going to nearly finish now, yes. And I'll read to 21. Starting verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the utmost of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name for our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it ends up, submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. So if I want to walk in wisdom, and I want to walk with the full wisdom, with the fullness of Spirit, I don't want to be foolish and be numbered by the things of this world. I want to stay alert and be ready for Christ. I don't want anything to come between me and my Lord. The question I'm going to close with today, three actually, the question every Christian needs to ask is this: under whose control is my body, mind, spirit functioning? Is it under the control of alcohol or greed or lust or covetous or anything else that can hinder my walk with God? Or is it under the control of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit which guides in the pathway which we should go? If anything else controls us, we will be surely led astray. Very easy to get on the wrong path, be led astray here and there. Alcohol has the power to enslave, to depress, to demolish one's self-dignity, and to cause us to relate poorly with others. On the other hand, the Holy Spirit has the power to help us live in fellowship, worship, gratitude and submission. That's the reason enough to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's interesting to note that in the closing thoughts of this it says, when Jesus' followers admit they are powerless over sin, when they humbly invite him into their hearts, a complete transformation occurs because he completely saturates them with his grace, not to mention a remission. Lovely words. Lovely words this morning. Now, it's an interesting thought, but I want to close this morning with something else. And I would like you to turn all over, all of you, in the Bible, to the last chapter in the Bible, Revelation 22, and I'm going to read something. I was reading it last night. I sent this message up to the Greddings this week. Chapter 22, I just want to read something in closing. Chapter 22, the River of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb, down the middle of the great street and the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for healing of the nation. No longer will be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. There will be no need of light for lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light,
and they will reign forever and ever. And the angel said unto me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord God of spirits of the prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Look at the next one. Look at the next word. Jesus is coming. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Come over to verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give up everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, Jesus speaking, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic, arts, the sexual, you know, immoral, and murders, the idolaters, and everyone who lost and practices falsehood. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. And it closes on this. Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And it closes with verse 21. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with God's people. Amen. Today I would like to close with that thought. The angel showed me the river of life. Water of life is crystal clear.
When I think about what I said here this morning, walking in wisdom, one goes back to other verses in the Revelation, but also to Psalm 23. These are the little things. These are the little things. As we come to the end of another year, I don't know where this year's gone. It's been a sort of a horrible year for us, family or what I'm talking about. But I hope it'll improve. As I step away from this church for a few weeks, which I know about's coming now, I hope that you will continue on here, united in the best way you can. And I look forward to be back here next year, doing the same as I did this year, hopefully, if I'm so wanted, because I'm willing to carry on to the best of my ability. I may have to sit down one day and take a service sitting at that table or Sabbath school class, but that's just the way it's going to happen, probably. But I've got to live with that. As I close this morning, I want to ask you this. Are you ready for Jesus coming today, this afternoon, this week, next week, or tomorrow? We have had a lovely chance this morning to open the Word of God. But I must remember that I have to be careful in what I do and say. I'm looking here something I didn't mention before. In the dictionary, Webster's dictionary, it says jest means this. A joke, an object of laughter, laughing stock to make merriment. Jesting is a separate word, a jesting matter, not in earnest. Sometimes we might hear things or say things which we don't mean. We as Christians and Adventists, we have to be very, very careful where we go, who we listen to, and what we see. We have to be aware of our situation. Because Christ wants us to uphold his name at all times in our lives, to others in this area, around us, and in general, everywhere we go. Christ is our master. We should have God as our... We should be able to imitate God in everything that we do. Be ye therefore imitators of God. Amen.
May the Lord watch between you and me when we are absent from one another. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Our Heavenly Father, be thankful.